Hi, everyone. This is Jason Bourne, Senior Program Director at the National Center for Family Philanthropy and Editor of Family Giving News. I'm pleased to be on the phone today with an old friend, Shirley Fredericks. Shirley is a trustee and former executive director of the Lawrence Welk Family Foundation in Los Angeles. Over the past 20 years, Shirley has essentially played the role of fairy godmother to my colleagues at the National Center and really for the field of family philanthropy in general. It's only a slight exaggeration to say that Shirley has been deeply engaged in virtually every movement in the country to educate and inspire Family Foundation trustees and next generation family members. And among many other honors, Shirley was a founding board member of the National Center. Shirley, we don't think there's anyone out there who's a better to kick off our new On the Phone With series, and I'm delighted you can join us for this little experiment in multimedia today.
Thank you, Jason. Well, it is my honor to be a part of this and hopefully to help other people to understand what fun it is to record with you.
Terrific. We have you for a few minutes today, and let's get right into the questions. The first question is, Bill Gates and Warren Buffett are at it again, most recently launching a public challenge to fellow U.S. billionaires to give away at least half of their fortunes during life or at death. They say this alone could lead to a minimum of more than $600 billion in new philanthropy. What are your thoughts on this statement? Do you think that they should have asked for more from billionaires? Do you think $1 billion is the minimum level at which an individual or family can get engaged in family philanthropy?
Well, I can't speak to billionaires. I don't have a whole lot of experience, but I wish them well. I hope that what they're doing is giving it away and using some of it at least for endowed funds that will go on far into the future. But I think it's wonderful. I think that the more you give away, the more you receive. Also, I have been working with young people, with youth philanthropy, and I think every citizen in the United States and every child needs to know that they can be a philanthropist, that they have the power to give, and we always identify philanthropy as time, talent, and treasure. Sometimes you don't have much treasure. You have a lot of time and talent, and those are skills, especially that young people have, that we want them to understand their communities need and want.
Terrific. You've been at this work, for several decades now. How do you think the field of family philanthropy has changed over the years? How do you think it stayed the same?
Well, I think it's often stayed the same and often quite traditional with some of the larger foundations. However, I also see two things. I see foundations becoming more reluctant to do capital funding simply because they want to keep programs operating. And secondly, I think there's a much, much greater emphasis today on comprehensive services for families in need, and especially for place-based initiatives. Many more foundations are getting into that.
Interesting. How about who, in terms of who is getting involved in family philanthropy and how the field is being served by advisors and other organizations?
Well, I think that the advisors themselves may need some education because there's many more forms of philanthropy, some of which they don't often know. And also, I think that because of the millennial generation, the great commitment now to community service that the millennials have, the kids born after 1980, and there's more community service now required. In California, for example, in order to graduate from high school, they have had to serve a community service component.
Right.
So that has gone up. And for the first time in this recession, we have seen volunteerism, instead of declining, it has increased. So I think that the children bringing in the next generation is really the avant-garde now of
Terrific.
Foundations.
Okay, let's talk a little bit about your family legacy. As the oldest daughter of Lawrence Welk, you've really carved out a special place in your family's legacy. Did you know, for one thing, that you're the only one of your siblings not mentioned in your dad's Wikipedia entry?
Hilarious. But, you know, Wikipedia is always being updated, and you can't trust it too much.
Yeah, that's right.
And that doesn't bother me because, you know, I want my work in philanthropy to speak for itself and to live on, whatever, whether I'm mentioned or not.
Now, and you and your daughter, Lisa, who's also been very, very closely engaged in the Welk Family Foundation as well as in other philanthropic endeavors around the country, really, you've supported a number of very creative programs. And I was going to say, I think it's entirely possible that the programs that you have supported and started up may live on even longer than the memories of your dad's show. What do you think about this possibility? Is legacy, a family legacy, a part of what you and Lisa and other family members are trying to accomplish?
It has not been an intention of ours to leave a legacy. However, if we do leave one, we would be so honored to be able to do that. And I hope that it will be bringing children and teens into philanthropy and watching them take wing.
Any programs recently that you've supported that really stand out to you that will accomplish those goals?
Yes. The program that we are working on, it is presently in Los Angeles, and hopefully in the years ahead will go into every major city. We already have 45 cities requesting it. Is Youth Give, and it's youthgive.org on the website. Lisa has a whole series of resources there that are marvelous for families, not just wealthy families, any family, and they explore the books, the websites, the stories, and the family traditions that help children to become givers. And then we have also supported Inspired Legacies Youth Giving Circles, and that's inspiredlegacies.org. That has also been marvelous in training kids, especially teens, to become givers. And it's amazing how just a small amount of money can help children to understand the thrill of philanthropy.
That's wonderful. So Shirley, you've obviously done an awful lot of support for programs that promote philanthropy among youth in your community and in regions around the country. I also know that you used it as a learning and teaching experience for the next generation of your own family. Do you want to talk for just a few minutes about how this has worked for you and for your children and your grandchildren?
Sure. In the mid-1980s, we brought in what were then our children. I have a brother and sister. Our children were the next generation. We brought them onto a junior board and gave them 10% of the budget to vote on their own. At that time, they were ages 14 to 24. They loved it. I think the secret to getting kids engaged in your foundation is to give them responsibility for a certain amount of money and for doing the research on organizations that they want to bring to their siblings and peers. We also took them on psych visits, and they often said that that was the single most eye-opening experience that they had as a kid and a teenager. Those children are now our senior board, and it is their children that we have just brought on in the last 2 years to our junior board. Initially we said that children had to be 10 years old to serve on a junior board. However, a few years ago, 2 7-year-olds talked their way in, and we just didn't have the heart to tell them they couldn't participate. So they're there now. And, we start our children off, however, at age 5 with raising money for nonprofits. In one instance, because they had 2 little cousins that were adopted from China, we went to the adoption agency, and the children raised money for children in China with cleft palates. They did that for a year by having a jar on the kitchen table and collecting the change in their parents' pockets and miscellaneous change here and there as it came into their home. Their aim was to collect $1,000. Which would cover the operation, the cleft palate operation for one child. At the end of the year, they had collected $7,000, and were absolutely jubilant and thrilled with their project.
Wow.
And that is a way to engage them. In another example, last year the children gave $1,000 to the Cambodian Children's Fund. It's a fund that exists in Phnom Penh, the largest garbage dump in Asia. Children are the rag pickers that go out and try to supplement their parents' income, or in some cases, actually, they are the wage earners. Very tiny children, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years on up. And so our children decided that they would raise money for them, and they were completely engaged. They gave them $1,000 at the when we sent the money and said we wished it could be more. The director wrote back and said with that $1,000 he went to the 45 poorest homes on the dump, 45 families, gave each of them a tin roof, a clean water receptacle, and 20 pounds of rice. And again,
wow.
Our children were thrilled. And that is the other thing we have found, is that children who now live all over the United States, in cities, in rural areas, whereas funding in a particular location or city might not be relevant to many of the children, international funding is relevant to all of them. And they have come together around international funding.
That's terrific. Well, I mean, obviously, involving the next generation like you've done is really central to sustaining your family's commitment to giving. Can you touch upon other things that family foundations might do or should do to retain their commitment and focus and the family's commitment and focus over time?
There are so many things to do. I would recommend the list of resources that Lisa has on the Youth Give website, which are very helpful. Families can do all kinds of things. They can raise money together. Some families travel into rural areas or poverty areas in our own country or internationally and pick a charity. You might read the book The Power of Half by Kevin and Hannah Salwin. A family in Atlanta that sold their home and gave half of their proceeds, if you will, to the Hunger Project in Africa. So there are so many ideas, and I would just simply say, I know that the National Center has many. Go to the National Center and other resources that will give you marvelous and varied ideas.
Terrific, terrific. All right, before we wrap up, I wanted to ask you just one other fun little question, which is to see if you could share with our audience a little known fact about you, which is that you have some magical powers of electromagnetism, which I think you said that this is something you believe your ancestors passed along to you from the hills of Romania. And I know it's caused some awkward moments in your life in the past.
Yes, it has.
What I want to know is whether there's any way that these powers that you have can be harnessed for philanthropy. So if you could just talk a little bit about that.
Well, Jason, you are kidding. But actually, you know, NASA has identified this electromagnetism that certain people have and said that they cannot work for NASA. So, of course, that's a career loss for me. But I think just being enthusiastic about philanthropy, and who wouldn't be, and the enormous potential that we all have to make a difference in each individual life and to make a difference, even more of a difference, by working together, that's the true magic.
Well, you certainly have a magnetic personality, Shirley, and I want to thank you for being our guest this week. Shirley is really the grand dame of family philanthropy. If you have not heard her speak and you see her on the agenda for a conference in your region, you should definitely take her up on that and join her. Thank you again. Finally, if anyone has a suggestion of someone who we should interview for a future edition of On the Phone With, or if you have any feedback or questions based on this month's call that I could pass along to Shirley or answer myself, please feel free to contact me at jason@ncfp.org. Thanks again, and we hope that you can tune in again next month.
Thank you.